seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when will cars safely drive themselves on our streets? And who in Ireland is providing the technology to help them do that? We talk to one of the country's biggest automotive autonomy entrepreneurs.
I have BMW Drive Assist in my own vehicle, and it is much, much safer because we are all prone to distraction, especially when we're on the motorway from Limerick to Dublin, for example. We've all been there where you actually forgot a whole section of the road. So I would say if you take it from a safety perspective, and it does allow you to kind of relax.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Throw and Hurling Show with me, Frank Roach, standing in for Michael Verney. Eddie Brennan and John Bolan are with us as usual to look back on the weekend Hurling League action. We've plenty to discuss, including the difficulty of beating 14 Limerick men. Is it time for Derek Link to lay down a marker against John Kiley's Invincibles this weekend? And have either of our esteemed analysts ever done an Alan Connolly on it? I'll start with you, John. Limerick were obviously in action at the weekend in Salt Hill and did 40 men for close to 15 minutes, started just 8 of their All-Ireland Final 15 from last summer, and Galway still couldn't beat them. Is it glass half empty or glass half full for Henry Shefflin after Saturday's draw?
For me, I don't think, looking at that game, look, you can take into account who Limerick were missing. You know, they were down to 14 men. I think from a Galway point of view and from Henry's point of view, I think he'll be delighted the way Galway finished the game. They were 2 points down with 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock, and they were able to gather themselves together. They were able to push on, get the final 2 scores, and they were going searching for the win that would have got them into to an All-Ireland semi-final. Now, look, you've just named, or gone into a National League semi-final, sorry. You've just named the names that Limerick were missing. On the flip side of that, Galway were down some big names as well. You know, you think of probably their best defender in Dahi Burke, their go-to guy in the full forward line in Conor Whelan. Brian Kincannon only came on. I think he's probably trying to get another couple of lads up to speed. I think Henry Shefflin will be delighted where Galway are at right now, going into the Leinster Championship. I think out of all the teams that remain in the National League, I think possibly Galway would have, you know, really took on the challenge of possibly meeting Limerick again, possibly in a National League semi-final. You know, you think of Johnny Glynn is going to come into the fold too. You've got some young, exciting talent there. I thought Gavin Lee was very good. I thought Adrian Tui, it's great to see him back. You know, Keenan Fahey seems to be going very well at centre back. And I think I honestly think Galway are in a very, very, very good place right now. And I'm probably out of all the challenging teams that are there right now to go and try and take on the challenge of taking Limerick down. I think Galway are probably, alongside Clare, possibly Cork, are probably in a really, really good place now right now, and are very well equipped going into this Leinster Championship. And on the QT, nice and quietly, he's building a nice panel depth there. I think, you know, in contrast to possibly last year, the previous year, where you were looking at Galway's panel and you were thinking maybe 18, 19 players. Now I think Henry has about 21 22 players where he can call upon, and he can have the trust in them to go and do a job for them if any one of the 21, 22 are called upon going into the championship.
Eddie, I'll give you the half glass full version. That game was heading into injury time. It was a dog of a day in Pirra Stadium. Conditions were horrible. And it could have been very, very easy for Galway to say, oh, well, here we go again. You know, we bow out. We've lost by 2 points. And they came up with the, you know, they won those last two frees. And Evan Nyland had, you know, he'd maybe missed a couple early, but it was a real pressure one to force a draw deep in the game. So Galway have to take something out of that, don't they?
I do. Look, I think John has mentioned some really good points there. I think if you're in Henry Shefflin's position, and I'll say this, no problem saying it, Henry Shefflin is under pressure up there this year. Henry Shefflin probably has to deliver a Leinster title this year. And I think he knows that himself. And as a player, he embraced that pressure. So that won't bother him too much. But I think nothing less than a Leinster title for Galway this year will suffice. And then obviously where they go in the championship series after that. And occasions we've seen it, you know, albeit they weren't able to get the job done, but they've shown occasions where they're able to go toe to toe with Limerick. I suppose you always try to take the positives out of that, but I suppose on the flip side, if I'm going to jump to Limerick for a second, I think this is deeply worrying for everybody else. I really do. And people are probably asking, saying, well, why is that? Why are Limerick in such? I suppose we talk about, you know, if you're talking about, you know, what Paul Kinnaird has brought there is an absolute expert in how human beings learn, right? How they learn and how they, all the associated things that come with that. And what Limerick probably have now is they have an algorithm, principles, you know, how they play. And what they're doing is they're just educating all these young lads on the periphery of the panel in what their principles are and what their values are and how that's serves them so well when they need it. And there yesterday, like, I mean, if you're John Kiely and Paul Kinnaird coming out of that, you're almost doing somersaults kind of going, we got to win with those guys, the young lads on the pitch up in Galway, which is a tough place to go. But they're also, you know, what they're able to do with this type of scenario is they can just build that confidence and that aura within the group that, look, we cannot be beaten, lads. And I suppose you have to be careful when you say that. But what I mean is that when you're in a bubble like that as a player, you want to feel confident. You want to feel, no matter what we do, we can't. We, you know, we're well capable of winning, or we can't be beaten if we're right, if I'm right. And each one of them then probably is starting to play, but they're also equally happy to play a support role when it's needed. And they've shown that during the last couple of seasons, their impact off the bench. So look, that's where Limerick are. I think that's, if we're to be very honest, I think I'm kind of concerned about that going into the championship, because it really, really does throw down the challenge to them all. And one more thing I will say, if Limerick are to be beaten this year in the championship, they have to be beaten three times. That's the only way you're going to take them out. So will they lose three matches in Munster? Highly unlikely, but they will have to lose maybe twice in Munster to not get to a Munster final. And then someone is going to have to beat them in the championship. So they can afford two losses, if you like, in the championship. Even last year with the two draws they got, or, you know, so that's Limerick, and they're in fierce good health going into the championship. But yeah, look, Galway, I think for me, the one that probably has stood out is Fahy at centre-back. I think he really has embraced that. And the rationale behind putting someone like him here, who was, what, full forward last year for Galway, I suppose he has that attacking dimension. And I think sometimes there's a little bit of a kind of a, you think of the young hurler inside in you, where you're playing the forwards all along and suddenly you get tossed back out the field where you can just let the handbrake off and go and hurl and attack everything. Because forwards, you're trying to attack everything. And when you have that mindset, then maybe there's just a freedom attached to that. And he has really clicked at centre back. Obviously, the big test for him is going to be come championship when he's facing into, you know, real quality forwards. But I like what I see in that move, and I agree with John. Galway have probably developed their panel a little bit. They've had to, they need to, because if you have, you know, guys that maybe can't, you know, get injured or whatever it is, and there is an attritional rate in the format that the championship is in, so you need to have 5-6 guys that you can go to.
Well, the way it's gone now, if you're effectively going to take down Limerick as a whole, right? going to nearly break down the whole 73, 74 minutes, how you're going to dissect the game and say, well, look, where are we going to win this match? And if you're looking at it, you need 2021 really, really solid guys where you can say then to the other 15 starters. Like, you look at it, what the Limerick have, they've starters and finishers. And that's been their strength over the last few years, where Paul Kinnurk or John Kennedy can say to the starting 15, right, you go and empty yourself for the first 50, 55 minutes, and then we've the four or five lads that come off the bench and finish out the game. And we've seen this time and time and time again. And that's what the opposition have got to build towards, where, and I think the likes of Clare Abbott, I think we're seeing it slowly down in Cork. And I think Galway are going a similar route, where Henry has looked at it and said, well, look, we need 2021 players where, just say, if they do come up against Limerick in the championship, he can then go and say to his panel of players, say, right, there's the starting 15, knowing then that he has five or six really, really good lads to call upon and have the trust on to say, well, look, you're starting, ye go and throw the kitchen sink at this Limerick team for, say, 50, 45, 50 minutes, knowing then that he can empty the bench, knowing that he has five to six really good lads that he can trust on, that can see out the job. And I think that's why I fully believe that Galway, I like what I see in Galway right now, that they are in a really, really good place, regardless of the way the result went the weekend. And look, 14 men. We've seen it last year, Limerick against Waterford. You know, Waterford had numerical advantage for the best part of 50 minutes. And I don't know what it is with this Limerick team. They just seem to have a solution for whatever outcome is thrown at them, whether it be 14 men. I'm sure they have a solution for it to even go down to 13 men. But for me, I think, you know, for me, I think Galway are in a really, really good place right now.
But just on that, John, I jump in on two things you're saying about Limerick. They always have a solution because they've planned for this in training. There's absolute clarity in everybody's role. So if they turn around and say, right, if we go down to 14 men, what can't we do? We can't bomb the ball indiscriminately. They mind possession better than anyone else. And it's a real football thing from talking to football coaches. You know, they've put down the certain scenarios of how they plan for, what do we do? And that's why Limerick are probably so good, is that for every player coming on, there's absolute clarity in their function, in their role, in what they're doing and what they're trying to do. The example I give you is maybe the impact David Reedy had a couple of years ago when he came on. He just ghosted around. I know from listening from Galway had all their matchups right. This is 2 years ago. Got it all right all along. What they didn't plan for, and I've said this on this, I think last year, they didn't plan for four substitutes in 11 minutes. And then who's tagging who. So there's a big learning for any coach. Like, and that brings me on to my next point, is that I think if you're playing against any team now, or Limerick particularly, are so good at assessing what the opposition are doing. They kind of fix it on the pitch a fair bit themselves. So you have to be able to change up your setup or change up your tactical approach, maybe after 20 minutes. And again, last year, you look at Galway, what did they do for the first 25 minutes? They blitzed them. Limerick got the breather a la Nicky Quaid. They were able to function. So probably that's the cue. If Henry looks back on that match and say, when I had Galway flying last year, Limerick under big pressure, and then Limerick stopped to fix the problem and get the communication around the pitch, Galway possibly needed then to change up their setup to counteract that. So there's a lot in what I'm saying there. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of preparation. But it's probably a route that you have to look at, because Limerick do fix the problems they encounter better than everyone else.
Hence why, right, and we touched on this last week, Eddie, about Johnny Glynn coming back into the fold. We've seen time and time again where it comes to that 50-minute mark, that 45, between 45, 55th minute mark, where Limerick just take over in that middle third. And, you know, they take everything that's in them, they absorb everything, and then they just come with more energy, and they win that middle third. And is Henry then thinking outside the box to say, well, right, this is where the Johnny Glynn factor comes into it then, where come that period of the match where we need to be able to, for a couple of balls, bypass that middle third area where he's probably thinking then, right, we throw Johnny Glynn on the edge of the square and we just lamp ball after ball after ball in on Johnny Glynn with Conor Whelan probably possibly playing alongside.
Yeah, and I think we saw in that All-Ireland in 18, that, you know, it was direct ball to the square, got Galway Whelan's goal, I think, that day. So, yeah, there's a lot in that. And look, we're talking about Galway at the moment, but like, to me, that's the cue for anyone looking in at Limerick. And it's very hard to do. I don't have, you know, does it work? But as you said there, the likes of Clare and that seem to be that bit closer to them in that regard. And maybe, look, maybe had Waterford been a small bit more economical last year in that first round, they definitely had the chance to take them there, you know.
Eddie, you obviously have to try to match Limerick tactically as much as anything, and physically as well. And we've seen, say, in the last two weekends, Galway, they beat Dublin well, but they ended up having three players sent off. Two of them were straight reds for Conor Whelan and Dahi Burke, and they were missing them at the weekend. And even though it was Limerick with 14 men at the weekend, you could argue that David Burke and Adrian Toohey were, they got yellow cards that were maybe a distinct orange in hue. You know, that on another day, they might have been red. Is that a challenge? You know, you have to physically match up to Limerick. But, you know, if you end up with 13 or 14 men against them, they could play puck with you.
No, they'll run a train out of you if that's the case. But, yeah, whatever hope you have, I think, look, the one thing you have to do with them is, and this is, look, like no bones about saying this, like as a player, you bring it to the line, you bend that line as far as you can go maybe. But like, and I go back to, I'll just quote Brian Cody on this, he often said to us, he said, lad, there is no place for stupidity on the field. And he said, you do whatever it takes, but he said, you're no good if you're sitting on the sideline. So, and that's, there's nothing new in that, but you just have to, like, there's, the controlled aggression is what we talk about there, is bringing it to the line. I think you have to look at all the other areas too. I think you have to look at, you know, a bit of, like, because Limerick are so experienced now at this stage. They've experienced an awful lot of things. And one example, like, you take where Galan was, you know, after year one, went down the following year, I think 2019 below in Limerick, and Owen Cadigan done a job on him. And you just kind of go, you know, if you're a cornerback, say, well, how did Owen Cadigan do that? Like, did he get in his head, or was he, you know, what way did he approach it? Because you're going to look at that and say to your players, you need to find ways to nullify these lads. You cannot stop Aaron Gillan. You cannot stop Tom Morrissey. But you can absolutely reduce the impact. And that's where the percentages are. And I think that's where any team looking to gain on them, that's where you make the gains. Because you have to, and this is what Limerick are brilliant at. They accept that they're going to concede a certain amount of scores. They accept they're going to cough up a certain amount of frees, not goals. Which Tip are the only team that I've seen score three goals on them in a while. So that's where I think it is for Limerick. They do that better than anyone. So going back to your point, Frank, I think you have to make sure you have 15 on the pitch. But if you do get a plus one on them and you have an extra man on the pitch, you have to make it count. You have to use that plus one effectively. And that means working the Limerick lads around a lot. You have to have them chasing their tails, or any team for that matter. If you have a plus one, that plus one has to really hurt the opposition and stretch them and work them, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I think Galway with that, yeah, you have to be careful with it. You have to be mindful of that, because it's no good. It just changes your game plan, and whatever hope you have in any championship game, you need to have 15 on the pitch, or you could go the old route. If you're going off, make sure you bring a lad with you.
Eddie, you mentioned Kilkenny under Brian Cody. I'll switch now to Kilkenny under Derek Ling. John, you were in Walsh Park on Saturday afternoon watching your own Waterford threaten a victory over Kilkenny for a fair while and ultimately come up short again. Looking at the match, firstly, from a Kilkenny perspective, like, it's a repeat of last year's league final and also the last two All-Ireland finals. How important is it for Derek Ling to lay down a psychological marker against Limerick in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this Saturday?
I look, from a Kilkenny point of view, from Derek Lynn's point of view, and the man across me knows only too well, Kilkenny don't shy away from any challenge. You know, and no matter how results have gone, you know, before and previous years, previous seasons, that will be irrelevant. Saturday when Kilkenny take to the field against Limerick. They still fully believe that they can take down Limerick. I think they'll embrace the challenge. The worry from a Kilkenny point of view is that probably going to be down, you know, probably going to have to face Limerick minus Mikey Butler and minus Mikey Carey, who are probably two touch-tight defenders, bring legs. So the challenge is going to be even greater now for Kilkenny the weekend. The plus for Kilkenny is that I like the look of Shane Murphy. I think he's really grown into a player. I think Kevin Blanchfield, I think they found a player in Kevin Blanchfield. He brings energy, he brings legs to the middle of the field. TJ, being TJ, he's still pulling the strings for Kilkenny. But look, yeah, I think the big thing for me is the choice of venue. I think this game possibly could have been in probably Tullamore or probably Portlaoise. Bringing Kilkenny and Limerick down Saturday evening down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I don't think anyone put any thought into that. And I think we've seen time and time again that, you know, how good Limerick are in Croke Park. But not only that, the dimensions play similar down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. They're going to be extremely difficult to beat down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well. But yeah, for me, I think Limerick, you know, they'll go into that game. They'll be strong favourites. Do I expect Limerick to win? I think if Limerick perform, they will win. But again, from a Derek Ling's point of view, from his management's point of view, from the Kilkenny players' point of view, I think it's another opportunity to go out, have a right cut off of Limerick, and take the learnings from it again. And as Eddie touched on before, the more you play in Limerick, the more you're learning how to adapt, how to take them on going forward into the championship.
Eddie, what's your take on how important this match is for your own county?
It's hugely important, Frank. There's no doubt about it. And again, I wouldn't argue with anything John has said there. I think the points are relevant. And if you're a group, and again, you sometimes try to cast yourself in there, there's huge motivation. You should be embracing this challenge. But I suppose it's the battle between the ears is the big thing for these Kenny lads now, because you know, it's sometimes when you have an opposition that you're just not getting to, you know, you just can't beat them, I suppose, is the long and the short of it. In the last three national finals, Limerick have won by probably an aggregate of 7+, 8+ points, maybe, if I was to average it out. So the big target has to be here is we want to be really, really competitive going down to minute 70. We have to get that gap right down and put ourselves in a position where we can strike, or if we get a little bit of fortune around the goal, we might be in a position to strike here. But I think what I would like to see overall from a Kilkenny perspective, and again, look, I'm not going to rant on about what I would love this match and what I want to see Kilkenny get the win. But I suppose I have to be very fair about it, you know, and just you have to think logically. I think what I want to see from Kilkenny is that they close that gap on Limerick and figure out and go into this match with a real strong sense of what we need to do to counteract Limerick's game plan and go toe-to-toe with it and be brave with that and try to see it out for 70 minutes. It's not easy to say that. Again, you're depending on what Limerick rolls. I think they will roll a team that will probably have, I'd say, definitely 10+ of the All-Ireland team. Maybe not. But they're going to give lads a great opportunity to test themselves again. And they're in that lovely position where they can do that. But like, you know, someone like Shane Murphy, Kevin Blanchfield there, you know, this is the big test for them. They've performed quite steady all through the league, but this is the big test for them now. It's going up against, for Shane Murphy now, it's taking on a Hegarty, it's taking on a Tom Morrissey, and seeing how can I measure up against a guy like that. And that's where you learn what you're going to have going into the championship. But I do think, you know, Kilkenny, I'm nervous about this match in some degree. I hope to God it doesn't blow up or anything like that. But I definitely think Kilkenny, all their qualities now have to come to the fore. The strength of this group and the hurt in this group should be a massively, massively motivating factor now. And like I said earlier, maybe that means they have to be fired up a little bit more than normal. I don't think you can play Limerick without being really fired up. And this is potentially potentially the last match. If not, it's a ticket to a league final. But this is potentially a last match for some of these guys to really put their hand up to Derek Ling and say, I'm plenty good enough here. And that's what this is. Huge opportunity.
You're touching on something that the late Eugene McGee said to me a number of years ago in an interview. And he was talking about his time in charge of the Offaly Footballers. And they were facing a very similar team, you could argue. You know, the Kerry four in a row team that had the five in a row t-shirts printed and they never got to sell them. But he said, I'm paraphrasing, that basically he wanted every opportunity he could get to have his team play Kerry because they learn more every day. And over a couple of years, they got closer and closer. And eventually, they took them out with a famous goal in the last few minutes of an All-Ireland final. But you know that every day against Limerick is a learning day.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think you'll have Derek saying what Eugene said, that there's lads inside in that dressing room haven't had a pint in 3 days. I don't think you'll have that kind of quote. But yeah, it is. And like I said there, I just want to see that Kilkenny improve on their performances in, you know, the league last year. And that will, look, sometimes to exercise a ghost or have an opportunity to exercise that ghost, you go back to the graveyard, and Kilkenny are going back to the scene last year in Páirc Uí. And I think if I'm Kilkenny facing into that match, right, let's not worry about the results here and now. Let's embrace the battle. Let's go at these boys and let's measure ourselves. Forget about Limerick to some degree, if you understand what I'm trying to say there. This is about us now. This is about how much we're hurt and how much motivated we are. And that's what Kilkenny have to, I think, bring this Saturday evening, and that they go toe-to-toe with Limerick, that they get in their faces, they get at them. And again, like I said, not stupidly or anything like that, but Kilkenny have to bring blood and thunder now this weekend. I really do. I think if this Kilkenny team are going to kick on and make something of themselves going into the championship, and they have a lot of qualities, they have a never-say-die attitude, but I think they really have to bring the fire on Saturday.
I agree, but I think what they really, really have to avoid, Eddie, the weekend, I think they have to avoid shipping possibly, you know, a defeat by a big margin. I'm not saying a big margin of double figures, but a margin where it's not going to be 8 or 9 points, between 8 and 10 points, where you're coming off the field and saying, Jesus, we're never going to close that gap. I think I 100% agree with you. They go, they throw everything at them. Even if they come off the pitch and it's the gap is possibly a margin of 3 to 4 points, where you're coming off and saying, yeah, you know what? The next time we play them, we can close that gap. But I think what they have to really avoid is a defeat like last year's league final, a defeat like last year's All-Ireland final. I think if anything outside of that, if they can go, if they can get the win, brilliant. But if they can, you know, if they can just really avoid, you know, those type of margins of between 7 to 10 points, which we've seen the last two previous occasions when both these teams have met, I think it might be a bad day's work for Derek Ling and this team.
Yeah, no, and I think there's one or two, there's a few question marks over a few players on that Kilkenny team. And look, this is where, like, I mean, you know, you have to answer those questions. As a player, you know you're under pressure as part of being an inter-county player. And, you know, the parts of your career, I know definitely I struggled at times, and there's only one way you answer those, or else you know, I don't mean to be cruel, but you piss or get off the pot. Like, and that's where I think Derek needs to know, and his players need to kind of step up a little bit now. I really think now Kilkenny have to step up on Saturday. And again, I would argue they've been very, very game. They've battled. They've ground out results last week. Last Saturday was a horrific blow. But I suppose they're not flowing like I would like them to flow. And obviously you want that in the championship. But this is an opportunity now where, you know, like I said, they have to step up. The players have to deliver. They get on the pitch. They pull on that jersey. It has to mean something. It has to hurt. And there's a lot of hurt in that Kilkenny team at the moment. And I'd like to see that really, really manifest itself in a big way on Saturday.
Now, on the flip side of that, Frank, if you're John Kiely and you're Connacht and you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you go 4 or 5 points up in the second half, you're really driving it home to the players and say, well, look, lads, you know, let's really drive it home. Let's damage the Kilkenny mindset that we're never going to close that gap. And you know, that's for a Kilkenny team, you know, it's very unlikely that we've seen over the years that, you know, Kilkenny teams go in with a damaged mindset into the championship. And I think that's what the likes of Kiley and Kinnock will really be homing in, saying, look, as Eddie touched on there, you know, the Kilkenny lads have got to embrace this opportunity. But I think Limerick will see this as a great opportunity also to say, well, look, this is one of our closest challengers the last couple of years. We can really, really kind of damage, you know, their mindset going forward if we were to get a win of the magnitude of possibly between 7 and 10 points again.
Gentlemen, it's clear from the conversation we've just had that both of you are kind of leaning towards Limerick in the first league semi-final this Saturday. If we fast forward to Portlaoise on Sunday, Clare against Tipperary, how do you think that'll go? I'll ask you first, Eddie.
Yeah, I think just reflecting back on our conversation earlier on, myself and John were kind of doing a lot of talking about, you know, we were talking about sitting the Galway side of it, and I said, God, it just popped into my head when John McCall said, God, Tipperary are very, very under the radar and there's not a word about them. So I think they've stuttered at times, but they're still getting the job done. And I suppose a week or two ago about if I'm Cal, I would be kind of relatively satisfied with that Limerick match. Yeah, they've a lot of work on, but they rattled in 3-18. So you take the positive, they were very efficient. And look, Clare looked to be probably the more informed side. They look to be the ones closer to look the benchmark at the moment. But at the same time, I think this is a great match for Cal to get. Tipperary, you know, are getting there. I think there's a bit more of a consolidated look. I suppose on one point, what has been, you know, the story of Liam Cal's tenure probably is injuries, and you see poor Shamie Kennedy like getting, you know, your heart goes out to a player like that when that happens. Like, it's one thing if it's impact, but just stumbled and fell over, and now his season is over. And could Tip have done with Shamie Kennedy this year? I think they could have. But it'll be an interesting match because they're obviously going to line up against each other in a couple of weeks' time down in the Munster Championship. But it's a great opportunity. Like I said there, what is the incentive or what the on offer for players here? Well, this is a top quality game with a lot at stake, a ticket into a league final. Would either of them love a league title? They would. Would they love a crack off Limerick? I think they would. Despite the fact you're going to run into them, like I think if the Tipper faced into them in round two, I think this is another opportunity maybe to get at Limerick again and test your players again and embrace that. So for Clare, the same. Clare are moving really, really well. I mean, John mentioned earlier about where Galway are at squad-wise. Well, Clare have, I'd say, up 25, maybe 24 really strong players in that squad. They've been able to give lads league time. So they have a nice look about them. You obviously need to get Shane O'Donnell back in there and Tony Kelly as well. And with that, then Brian Lowen is pulling off a very strong squad. But he arguably has, look, for me, I think two things I really like about the Clare team at the moment is that I think Peter Duggan, like his season, was it the All-Star season in, was it 18? I think where they went toe-to-toe with Galway in two semi-All-Ireland semi-finals, two epic matches. Peter Duggan as a wing forward, I think, adds something else to it. He's a real robust fella. He goes in, he wins ball, he creates things, he gets in defenders' faces. But arguably there, look, and John has spoke about this guy, but Davy Fitzgerald is just absolutely in the form of his life at the moment. And I don't know, like, as a defender, look, how do you track a guy like that? If he gets on ball, and he just has this lovely, smooth acceleration that he just glides away from lads. His striking is brilliant. And I've noticed a couple of times over the last few seasons, he seems to always be able to get free for at least two puckouts in every match where he's just pinged by the goalie. And he just turns in acres of space and slings the ball over the bar. So he's a real quality player. I think Clare might slip this for me. I think Clare might just have enough. I think they have a better balance about them. It'd be interesting to see the team lineouts. That the team lineouts for me is going to give you a fair indication of where both managers are at, how strong they roll and what they want out of the match. So that to me, the lineouts is going to be interesting for what's coming in a couple of weeks' time. But I think Clare might have enough. But I think Tipper in a good place too at the moment. They, like I said, they've stuttered a little bit. They're not polished up yet. They're not the real deal. But I do look, another fella I'm going to mention, Jake Morris, is to me, you know, he's a goal getter. And I think what Tipperary have to make sure this year is that he's getting on ball close to goal. If they can get ball into him close to goal, he has a forward's brain for finishing that I haven't seen in a lot of lads in quite some time, because goals aren't really the currency in the last couple of seasons in terms of systems and that. You don't try to find your goal scorers. But if I was involved in a team with Jake Morris, I'd be wanting to get his hands on the ball anywhere close to goal.
John, what's your take?
Any touch on there would be very, very interesting. You know, the team selection. I mean, there's a lot of noise being blasted out of that. You know, will either County put the handbrake on the fact that, you know, the prize could possibly be, another fixture against Limerick in a National League final. But for me, I think, you know, both these counties, I think they'll really go for it. I think they're in the semi-final, and Getty touched on it. You know, winning a National League title, you know, you can't turn your nose up at that. Like, you know, you're in a semi-final, you're in a great position, you're 70-odd minutes away from getting to a National League final. And I think, you know, the chance of taking on Limerick again, I think what Limerick have played 13 finals, 13 finals, and they won all 13. You know, if you were to go to that National League final, whether it be Tipperary, Clare, take on Limerick with an opportunity of taking Limerick down and becoming the first county to overcome Limerick in any final, whether it be Munster final, National League, or All Ireland final. I mean, that would be massive for any of these two going into the championship. Now we're only going off the back of possibly Limerick overcoming Kilkenny the weekend. I think if there's going to be an upset the weekend, now look, everyone is saying it's going to possibly be a Clare Limerick final. And what way would that play out? You know, with the two of them having to go out a fortnight later in the Munster championship. I think Brian Lone would see it as a great opportunity, possibly maybe to play a National League final and probably get a bit of game time into Tony Kelly, a bit of game time into Shane O'Donnell, maybe Ryan Taylor. We're seeing he's on the way back as well. I think this is going to be tight. I think it's going to be very, very tight. I wouldn't rule out extra time. And I think if there's going to be an upset the weekend, I think it could be Tipperary might overcome Clare the weekend. I'm gonna edge towards Tipperary myself. I think, you know, I've seen Liam Cattle, I've seen Bevins. I think they'll really go at this game knowing that they have the extra week, you know, the fallback of having an extra week. They're not out for another 3 weeks after a league final. The fact that it's in poor leash as well. I'm gonna edge towards Tipperary, maybe after extra time.
Okay, very good, John. Actually, Eddie's reference to Jake Morris, the goal-getter, brings us neatly to our last question of this show. Alan Connolly has just scored back-to-back hat-tricks in the National League against Offaly and then Wexford. Now, I'm sure this has happened before. I can't remember when it last did. But I suppose my question is, can a fit and firing Connolly make all the difference for Cork this summer? Because he's had a bad run of injury over a couple of years. I'm going to put this first to Eddie Brennan, the proud owner of 8 All-Ireland medals, 4 All-Stars, who, according to Wikipedia, if Wikipedia is to be believed, has scored 48 league and championship goals for Kilkenny. You got 1-5 against Limerick in the 07 final, 2-4 against Waterford, John's Waterford in 08. Have you ever scored back-to-back hat-tricks? Have you ever scored a hat-trick for Kilkenny?
No, I haven't. I haven't. John is the one with the hat-trick.
You've never scored a hat-trick in goals.
No, not for... look, when you got to that, I was like, better pass it off and create a few chances, John.
In either league or championship.
No, I can't recall scoring 3. No, I've had a few doubles, all right. I think the only one occasion I remember distinctly getting a hat-trick was one evening against Gorn in the club inside Nolan Park one evening. I don't know what happens, whether the Gorn backs just took an evening off and let me have it. But no, never scored an inter-county hat-trick. But on Connolly, I'm a big fan of this fellas. I think he oozes class. Please God, look, from a hurling perspective, and obviously the Cork people will want it as well, but from a hurling perspective, I'd love to see this guy get a full championship season under his belt, injury-free, because he's quite a handful, obviously. 6'2", I think. you know, real eye for a goal, a real abrasive guy. And he's after, you know, he's 22, 23 now, 24 maybe. He's, you know, he's coming to now a stage of his career where I'd imagine hunger is a big thing for him. And I do think as a change it up a little bit option, if you have a big guy like him on the edge of the square, Hoggy working around him or whoever, I think he gives you a different dimension in there. He's able to win his ball, he's able to score. And that's not to be sneezed at. That's a fair achievement because I don't care what anyone says. You don't get three goals in any form of a league match too simple. No way. So, for Cork, they need this guy fit.
John, you've I know you have 8 less All-Ireland medals than Eddie, but you do have 4 more Munster medals than him, and I think 1 more All-Star as well. One more you have over him. You scored a hat-trick in the 2003 Munster Hurling final against Cork, albeit on the losing side. But you must have been impressed by what this particular Corkman has done in recent weeks.
I'm still shocked that Eddie Bennett has scored 48 goals. And out of those 48 goals, he's never gotten a hat-trick. Jesus. And thankfully, you know, he scored 2-4 in the All-Ireland final, and geez, he could have very easily got a hat-trick.
Well, Larkin passed me one near the end. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy with that.
That's the game we don't like to talk about down in water. But yeah, I got done on 2 occasions in Munster final, and I got a hat-trick there against Dublin in the league. I think it was 2009 or 2010. But yeah, Connolly, what I like about him, he's a big block of a lad, but for such a big lad, he's able to move. He's able to move, Frank. He's getting the ball and he's just hell-bent on going straight for a goal. And I looked at some of the highlights the weekend. He got 3 goals and I think Mark Fannin pulled off another 2 saves. He could have had 5. He could have had 5 goals the weekend. And he's just getting into that mindset now. When you just start hitting green flags, it's like Jamie Callan, it's like Alan. It's like winning. It just becomes a habit. And you have all your team when you take to the field is when you're so confident in yourself saying, you know what, I'm going to score another goal today. And if I score one, I'm going to look for a second one. I'm going to look for a third one. And Cork right now, I looked at our team as a whole. It's starting to glue together. You know, you go through their back line. You have Damien Callan, full back. You have Owen Downey, Sean O'Donoghue, their half back line. Then you have Downey, Joyce is playing out of his skin, lads. I mean, for me, he's the best centre back in the country right now. What Kilkenny would give to have Joyce number 6. On the other wing, then you have Jerome Elric. There's a solid. Solid sextet at the back, midfield, and Darragh Fitzgibbon is starting to come into his own, Tommy O'Connell. And then what's very interesting, Frank, across the half-hour line, they've gone for 3 big men, Brian Hayes, Seamus Harnedy, and Dalton. And then you have 3 really killers inside, then you have Hoggy, you've Connolly, and you've Barrett. And that's not then you're talking, you have Robbie O'Flynn, you have Jack O'Connor, who's in great form, Shane Kingston. So we touched on Clare, we touched on Galway. Cork really are building something nice. And you know, Connolly, Jesus, you look at him 12 months ago. Well, no, he was injured last year, but you look at him probably 18 months ago, and the muscle he's after putting on. He's going to be a massive, massive, massive plus for Cork going into this championship. Be interesting. Will they leave him on the edge of the square or will they put him back in the corner? I think you just leave him on the edge of the square and you just keep getting ball into him because, you know, he has an eye for a goal. He's the eye of the tiger at the moment and it bodes so well for Cork going into this championship.
And Eddie, briefly, just watching the highlights last night on League Sunday, the first of his 3 goals, if you to borrow from another code, it was almost like a soccer poacher arriving at the back post and diving on the ground to get on a ball. It's a very unusual goal that you'd rarely see in hurling, but it shows that the guy has a kind of a poacher's instinct.
Ah, yeah, and especially around the goal, you know, when I was growing up, you often heard that saying, you know, be following in, be always making a nuisance to yourself. And that's what he does. And that's what the good lads do. And no matter what sport it is, be it rugby, soccer, whatever you go, that, you know, that that instinct is not in everyone. And particularly, I suppose, now with systems being so functional in everything you do, like you're playing to a system where you're trying not to waste possession. But like, you know that, well, he's going to hang around the goal. And that's one thing that I don't care what anyone says. I don't care, the best of backs. I mean, Limerick love you running away from the goal, running to flanks where they can go on a sprint with you and try to crowd you out there. But the one thing that I day of the bear in the square is probably you can't have it all the time. But if you have that option that you can put it in around there and you have a guy, sometimes you can describe him as just a bit of a pest around the goal. He can just be in there and he's hovering around. Like Lara Carr, but Lara had that presence around the goal. You knew he was there. It was an unsettling presence for a goalkeeper. And I think that's what, there's always a place for a guy like that. And I think it's something that's you know, we'll see, will Cork utilise it to good effect in the Championship.
That's great. That's it for this week's show. And my thanks to Eddie Brennan and John Milan for joining me. Don't forget to rate, review and follow the show on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks for listening.